It is 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. Pierre Robert, and we have the pleasure of the company of an amazing gentleman with quite a story to tell. His name is Jerry Cantrell. You know him, of course, from Alice in Chains, but his solo career is quite amazing as well. He and his band will be at the Excite Center at the Parks Casino coming up pretty soon now, March 18th. And his third solo album, which has been out for a while, actually, but is a great piece of music, is called Brighton. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Pierre. I'm good, man. How you doing?
It's great to talk to you. Longtime friend of MMR, you are.
WMMRBQ.
That is great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there on my birthday, March 18th, man. Yeah.
This album, you know, it's kind of funny because it was released in October of 2021, and here we are, you know, 2023. I assume some of the, you know, the delay in you getting out to promote it had to do with the pandemic. When I saw you, I think last summer on an AIC tour, you mentioned, well, I'm still promoting Brighton in terms of what I'm up to, and that's still been your priority, correct?
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely correct in your assessment there. I mean, you know, we all had to figure out how to navigate that, and basically that meant not working for about a couple of years. But luckily, I was making that record during the time that was all going down, and so I had something to keep myself occupied. It got pushed back a little bit, and last year was the year of making up for all that lost time. So I not only got to tour and support this record, Brighton, with my band, and do some really great stuff in the U.S. and Europe, but I got to go out and play with Alice as well. And these upcoming dates will be the kind of wrap it up. It'll be the final lap of this tour, you know, of the Brighton tour. So, yeah, got to be fun.
I want to ask you, Jerry, about the album artwork on it, because when I first was looking at it, I thought, well, maybe that's a B. But then when you talk about the record, you said it's a journey up through darkness to light. And you released a 5-song live EP in the fall, I believe it was. And in that, the creature, the bug, whatever, is lit up. So a friend of mine said, I think it's a lightning bug or a firefly. What is the creature?
Yeah, it's a firefly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a beetle.
I love fireflies, by the way.
It's Ryan from Invisible Creature, who's done a number of our albums. He's done some really great work, and he's an incredible artist. I had a general concept, and he's like, "Let me, you know, I actually wanted to do some photographic art to put on the cover, but he's like, I got an idea. Let me jump into this and do some like hand drawing and stuff like that." And he's knocked it out of the park. You know, it's a great iconic image, and it's very simple, you know, and you know, it's kind of an interesting analogy of, like, you know, fireflies and how magical that is. It's like a little tiny self-producing little light engine, you know, cruising around with a few others, and like one insect makes a little tiny light, but you get a whole bunch of them going in a field. It's pretty magical, you know. So there's some connection, and, you know, two is greater than one kind of vibe with that too. So
yeah, it's I love fireflies. They're my favorite bugs, and when you start I've pulled my car over before and just stared at them, because it's like
a natural. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they really are magical. And in the East here, I grew up in Northern California, and we did not have them out there. And it was only when I came here to Philly, East Coast, that you'd see them in the early summer. They're not around for long, and they only come out at dusk, but they're just the greatest things ever, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing, bioluminescence. You know, so many animals and organisms use that as part of their life cycle. And it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing thing.
But also, you know, it ties in with what you're talking about when you say it's a journey up through darkness into light. And, you know, that really reflects much of your life story. There are so many great songs on here, and we don't have time to talk about all of them. But one of my favorites is Prism of Doubt. And tell me about that song.
Yeah, you know, that's I get a kick out of that tune, too. That's one of my favorites on that record. And it's, you know, short to the point. And it's got a great chorus and stuff, and I think it's kind of a comment on, you know, perspective change, you know, like maybe some things, maybe the glasses that you used 10 years ago don't work for you anymore. Maybe it's time to get put on a new set of glasses it's often, you know, interesting to me, you know, that sometimes it's just a little shift in perception that changes your view of, you know, from either way, from a positive to a, hey, that's not really for me anymore, or like, you know, maybe this is something's becoming a drag, and you know, you give yourself a little perspective shift, or somebody else gives it to you, and hey, wait a minute, you know, I got it pretty good, things are all right, you know, so I think that song kind of touches on that concept.
The second single was Brighton. I think Atone was the first single, and Brighton was the second single. Tell us about that particular song.
Yeah, Brighton. You know, that was a song that was early on in the process of, like, you know, we started doing some sketches, you know, like little writing sessions. And you know, you kind of start off with the inkling of the idea that you might like to do something. And then you actually sit down and start putting some stuff down on tape or recording it. And that was one that came together pretty early in the process. And I remember my good buddy and partner on this record, Tyler Bates, really, really great dude and super talented fella. I brought that over to him, and he's like, "That's it right there, dude. That's your title." And I'm like, "Yeah, I think you're right, you know." And it ended up being that. So it felt like an important song early in the process, and luckily, as you know, as you go through writing a record, something that you think maybe is great, when you get done, it's not as great compared to what else you came up with. And then there's other ones that are like, yep, that one stood the test, you know. And that's really what you're trying to do when you make a record, is see what's gonna, you know, stand up through the whole process and be a body of work, you know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're speaking with Jerry Cantrell here on MMR, and the band will be at the Excite Center at Parks Casino on March 18th, which happens to be Jerry's birthday, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you what it's like when you started road testing these songs, because, you know, bringing new songs in front of an audience is always a challenge for any artist. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it is. You know, there's always like, okay, let's... you know, the record turned out pretty cool, but like when you actually stand up and start playing that stuff, not only just in itself, but also compared to, you know, more familiar work that the audience knows you by, the songs that you've written through your career. So do they stand up to those songs that are really beloved? And, you know, thankfully the answer was yes. You know, it was really fun playing them. People reacted to them. I was, it's always great when you put something out, and it's also a little scary, you know,
right,
to, you know, see if people are going to connect with it in a way that they have in the past. And that's always a little bit of a gamble, but, luckily, came up seven, you know, when we rolled the dice. It was good.
So cool.
So last 2-3 years, we didn't really get to tour for a couple of years. In the middle of the pandemic, I made Brighton. And then last year I kind of did double duty. I supported this record with my band, and also, got to tour with my main band, Alice in Chains.
Your day job, so to speak.
I got to do both. So this leg here is basically the last lap of the Brighton tour, and then we'll be onward and upward to other things.
When you when people come to see Jerry Cantrell solo, and when they go to the show at the Excite Center at Parks Casino right near Philadelphia here, what will they expect? Because I was looking at a few set lists, and there's some AIC songs on there, but there's a lot of solo material, which, again, yep, is something that's got to be gratifying for you. And looks like the way you're spacing them out, people get a little bit of everything, which is, you know, kind of cool for an audience.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you're thinking about set lists, you're trying to serve all eras, you know what I mean? And then, you know, there's songs that people, you know, pretty much about 80 or 90% of people would be really bummed out if you didn't play. So, and a lot of those are songs that I've written with Alice, you know, so, so it was really, it's always interesting to play material, you know, outside of the band that you're known for, but, the band that I have is really good. And, you know, I think people understand that it's, you know, it's just a different take on that. And I've kind of approached it as, you know, one of my dreams was to be a legitimate songwriter, you know, and I've been really fortunate to be involved with some talented people and the guys in Alice and throughout my career with a bunch of friends, you know, and other people who are amazingly talented too and make some music outside the band. So being able to play a mix of that stuff is really satisfying in a lot of ways, because you're playing new stuff that people are reacting to, and you're also playing stuff that people have known for years, and songs that mean a great deal to the audience as well as yourself.
Speaking of that, I mean, some of the people you've played with are, you know, we could make a long list. A lot of people know them, but every so often you get surprised. A lot of people were surprised when Elton John helped out on Black Gives Way to Blue back in, I think, 2004. You know, and there was a connection with Elton. And then at the end of this album, you cover the song Goodbye, which I think you're also playing in concert. Tell me about that connection.
Yeah, you know, I was as surprised as anybody that Elton, we corralled Elton to play on Black Is Way to Blue. A really important record for us and a really important song meant to honor our good buddy Lane Staley, and also to kind of honor ourselves and courage to step forward and continue to make music and own our legacy, all the highs and the lows of it. That's a life, you know. Elton is one of the earliest artists that kind of spoke to me, you know, and not just me, all the guys in the band are big fans of Elton, and we were recording that song, and I demoed it with a piano. I believe my good buddy Tim Dawson, who was my guitar tech and engineer at the time, put a little keyboard thing down, and when we came to cut it, we're like, who are we going to get to play this? And our longtime assistant, Todd Shaw, she's like, call Elton, you know? We all kind of like laughed, like, yeah, he's like, sure, let's just call Elton. See if he'll play on one of our tunes. And he's like, hey, man, you never know unless you ask. And so, you know, we do know a few people, you know, that work for Elton and have also worked for us. And, you know, we've had a little bit of connection with him. So I wrote him a little email and sent him the demo of the tune. And I'm like, you know, asked him if he would consider playing on it and explain the importance and significance of the tune. And he's like, I love it, man. I'd love to do it. So it was one of the goosebump moments in my life was walking into the studio in Las Vegas. I think he was doing a residency at the time, and having his piano in the studio, and he was a little late. I think his soccer team was in a match. So we walked in, and we were waiting on him, and, you know, seeing his piano all mic'd up in the middle of the studio and my music on the stand there was pretty amazing. Like, holy hell, you know. it still gives me chills, you know.
But it speaks to the power of music, because musicians don't know boundaries. There's no lanes, if you will. That's got to be, this is this type of music, this is that type, and never the twain shall meet. In fact, musicians don't think in those terms, and why not ask him, and why not have him play on it? And, you know, he's a pretty cool guy from all I've heard, that he's more than willing to do that type of thing.
Yeah, I don't know him well, but the one thing I do know about him is he truly is a fan of music. And so really it comes down to that same thing of, like, you know, how do you find an audience? You know, how do you maintain a connection to the audience? How do you do this for 30, 40, 50 years? You know, you have to love music. And, you know, the goal has to remain the same. You're trying to create something that means something to you. And also means something to somebody else. So the barometer to me, and I think that for most anybody like we're talking about, and Elton included, is just, you know, but hey man, that's cool, and that's good. I like that song, you know. I wish I wrote that song. You know what I mean? God dang, that's good. I wish I wrote that, you know, and like, give you a little kick in the butt to maybe write something that makes you feel that way, or make somebody else feel that way, the way you felt. So those are all little signposts, I guess, that kind of, you know, you get them every once in a while in life that like, hey man, you're doing the right thing. Yep. That's the way to go. Keep going that way. So, yeah.
Well, I love that. And that's the part of your, you know, what I call relentless optimism, because you don't give up. You've had a lot of hurdles in the path, a lot of potholes in the road of your journey, but you keep making that music, you keep pressing forward. And I think that's what a lot of people admire about you. And
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, the journey is long. And, you know, there'll be a lot of twists and turns, but, you know, the what makes it worth it is, you know, like the conversation we're having, you know, like, are you doing something that's meaningful, you know, to you in your life? And I've been really lucky to be involved, to be a musician, to be a songwriter. And it's really all I ever wanted to be. I'm better at this than I am at even by miles than anything else. And so I'm lucky enough to do something that I love. And you know, you stick with it and you tend it and you take care of it, and it takes care of you.
The show will be on March 18th at the Excite Center at Parks Casino. And it happens to be Jerry's birthday. And the latest album is Brighton, his third solo album. Pleasure to talk to you, Jerry Cantrell. We look forward to seeing you soon here in Philadelphia and continuing our friendship here on MMR.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to rocking out with you guys on my B-Day.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.